2024, there are some significant trends which are appearing in the marketplace. Obviously, we've seen the Hunger Games when it comes to the rental market. And of course, a lot of this has to do with policies that were pushed upon the marketplace by government many, many moons ago. Welcome to the Urban Property Investor. I'm your host, Sam Saggers, here to help you crack the code of real estate wealth. Today's show, we're going to dig into really what is over the horizon when it comes to how real estate may actually lift in value. It's going to be a great conversation. Thanks for tuning in. And of course, welcome back, regulars. Thank you for choosing me to get some real estate knowledge from. I appreciate your earballs. Of course, if it is your first time tuning in, play the program in double speed. Go fast. That's the plan around here. And of course, all the podcasts I've done are actually lessons on real estate. So feel free to go back in time. I was speaking to a chap the other day who's starting from the beginning in double speed, going through all 180 plus episodes. So that could take a few weeks, but hey, all power to you. There's a lot to learn in real estate, and a big part of my job is simply sharing information. Yes, I've been doing real estate quite a long time now, been involved in the industry for 3 decades. Yes, I'm almost becoming the silver fox himself, but I do probably need to put a few more decades in before I can take that title. Hey, I tell you what, it's awesome to be chugging along in 2024. I feel like, it's not a bad year. The year of the dragon, it's happening. Dragons are out there. I don't know about you, but I was saying the other night, I think I've got a dragon in the house. The old wife tends to be a bit of a fire-breathing dragon sometimes, doesn't? Don't wives, they love it. I've got a little mini bull terrier, and I went to the vet to see if I could get another little mini bull terrier. She said, buy a female, but it's going to boss him around. And I was like, wow, happens in the dog world too. But hey, we're not here to talk about my life. We're here to talk about real estate. And of course, 2024, there are some significant trends which are appearing in the marketplace. Obviously, we've seen the Hunger Games when it comes to the rental market. And of course, a lot of this has to do with policies that were pushed upon the marketplace by government many, many moons ago. There is some political grandstanding at the moment when it comes to how and why property investors should even exist, which is appalling because we do exist and we provide houses to people. So I'm going to come back and do another conversation on the greatest menace of them all, which is government. But we might spend today actually having a conversation around some other elements within inside of the trends of 2024. We recently did a conversation on really the idea of the soft landing and interest rates. But there are some other factors at play, and today I thought we should focus on really the supply versus demand imbalance and also some structural shifts which will unfold when it comes to the flight to affordability based on what is known as a cost push or cost push theory. So yes, we're going to dig into economics today. We're going to do a little bit of a chat around what that could look like when it comes to the future of growth from real estate. And of course, the supply and demand metrics in Australia are just bonkers, right? We have a high growing population base. Australia's economy is built on more immigration. I think we recently talked about that. I constantly talk about the FIRE economy, how really as an economy, we are basically an economy of new migrants and really building a framework of economics around that. And, you know, we are now at a 12-year low supply of approvals. So now not only completions are at record lows, but future approvals are now at record lows. So an approval effectively is a development application which gets the green light from legislation, from planning, that it can basically proceed. But as we know, not all approvals actually end up as real estate. Many properties never see the light of day for all sorts of reasons. And ultimately, it is very, very likely that a lot of real estate will not see the light of day due to the fact that there are some cost push pressures on real estate. And so this is going to have a flow-on effect. It's a leading indicator for a lag result, and there will be a lag result. So the idea of cost push economics, or the cost push effect, is fairly simple. You can examine supply or the supply chain, and you can work out whether the supply that is due out or going to market now is going to settle when the approval goes through a completion, and if it's going to settle at a much higher rate than what real estate is today. And when we examine future supply of real estate, which is approved, and then apply the logic of the vendor, the developer needs to ultimately make a profit. The developer, the vendor needs to engage a builder. The builder needs to build the property. There is a rise in what the next supply of real estate will cost. And so things are going to go up. There's going to be what is known as a cost push effect on the real estate marketplace. And sometimes when we think about the idea of real estate, it is often the concept that real estate goes up if demand can get very, very low rates, if there's a fair level of immigration, and if demand is focusing in on certain lifestyle choices, i.e. everyone wants the same property at the same time, you then get this mismatch of demand versus supply, and that ultimately equals higher property values. And we also can see higher property values off the back of higher interest rates, which is where we see ourselves today. Though the forecast is for the cash rate to be lowered by up to 1% by this time circa next year, which is great for demand, low supply can actually lead to higher prices without much more demand needed to put fuel on the fire. So when there's no approvals, there's ultimately going to be a shortage of well-located land. When there's no approvals in a higher interest rate marketplace, and you've got a cost push on inflation and a cost push on what things cost to deliver, then you also run the risk of just not supplying the marketplace. And here in Australia, for whatever reason, I won't get into it, there are some pretty slow and very ridiculous planning restrictions that often just make it so difficult for stock to ever see the light of day. So we find ourselves in this position, a shortage of well-located land today to buy, higher interest rates, which will drop, which will fuel demand, planning restrictions, which are cumbersome, that are making it very difficult for developments to be approved, and construction costs, which ultimately don't mathematically align with where the market is today. So feasibility, the approvals that are low coming out of planning, at a 12-year low coming out of planning, you may see 20% of them actually see the light of day. So the supply driver, as opposed to the demand driver, is also going through a supply and demand mismatch. When there's a supply and demand mismatch, it ultimately equals higher prices. And so we are living in a decade where there will be inflation. That's a given. The targeted soft landing looks like it's tracking okay. But ultimately, when we say inflation is dropping from 7% down, things aren't deflating. Things aren't becoming cheaper, ultimately. We're not living in a period of deflation. And so whether the inflation rate's 7%, 4%, 2%, it's obviously mean things are going up in value. And what we can see over the horizon is a very high cost push effect on real estate. And as a property investor, this means there's a limited window really to play the game before it is plausible that we see higher prices once again, which will absolutely fry the mindset of the Greens Party, which really is a socialist party that does not effectively want capitalists to make money out of real estate. So it's going to happen. There's going to be more money made out of real estate. And how that's going to unfold is through a shortage of supply of real estate, but also equally rising costs on real estate and how it's delivered. And often you could look at a period of time like this and go, well, if a builder has no residential homes to build, won't costs come back down? But the truth of the matter, there's a lot of renovations going on. There's a lot of public works spending going on. We've got the Olympic Games going on. There's plenty of work out there if you're a tradie at the moment, it would seem. And whether you're knocking out a new bathroom or putting up some chairs in a stadium or whatever it may be, you've got jobs. There's jobs out there. Even though the jobless rate is ticking up a tad, it's coming off a very low base. So it is plausible the next hotspot is actually the next cost push, the cost push effect. And so really your job as a property investor, if you like, is to make the money from the cost push. There's, in my opinion, up to 20% in where the future supply is compared to where the current stock levels sit. And so there are gains to be had. So if you own real estate and you're wondering how it may grow in value next, I would sit tight for the next 3 years because you may be the beneficiary of effectively the cost push effect. And of course, if you're yet to buy real estate, you need to be very, very careful because if things do rise again, that obviously limits your choice as a property investor as to where to set your portfolio. So if we go back to Australia's business plan, it really has a plan around the idea that a large percentage, over 25% of its economy, is education combined with construction combined with finance. And I've mentioned this before. I'll probably mention it every time. It is called FIRE economics. Finance, insurance, and real estate is the game of the Australian economy. We have a mining sector, which produces a large amount of revenue for Australia, but ultimately a smaller proportion of people work and are deployed in mining when compared to where most people's jobs are around the FIRE economy. So you can't have people not having jobs. And really, to fuel the FIRE economy, you've got to have a growth rate of new people coming into the country. They come in, they're 20 years old, they've got their full tax life ahead of them. And so it's a very efficient model because you're not paying for them when they're young. And so if you think about the current state of affairs, you've got record low supply, record low approvals, record low completions, but you've got higher rates subduing a little bit of demand. To build a property, it may cost up to 30% more to enter that real estate today than what it would cost to buy the equivalent property. And we'll talk about what would be an equivalent property and what wouldn't be to future supply. So if you're going to invite 200,000 people here every year, you've got to eventually have homes for those people. They are rental homes. They are homes that they will go on to buy. And of course, for people to afford future costs on real estate being 20, 30% more than what it is today, rates will have to drop for people to afford the next supply. Otherwise, you will never have next new supply, which will ultimately lead to huge price increases. If you cannot supply the Australian economy, effectively, you have to change your migration strategy. Australia cannot change its migration strategy because everyone's jobs is connected to migration. Now, you may think your job is not connected to migration, but ultimately, most jobs in Australia are connected to migration. You could have a job at Bunnings. It's connected to the FIRE economy. Wesfarmers owns Bunnings. They want to be part of the FIRE economy. You could, be a chiropractor, and really your business grows because more people are coming into the system. The plumber building the house has a bad back and comes and sees you for the adjustment. So it's all connected. It's like a big town plan. And we're all connected to this population movement. So the crux of the condition is you will not produce more supply unless rates actually drop so that more people can afford the new supply, and the new supply gets then produced to obviously match the business model, which is population growth. So that's what's going to unfold. My prediction is rates will drop by this time next year. And a large reason as to why they need to drop is it will eventually meet the needs of the Australian who needs to borrow money, who has a budget and needs to go and buy properties. And so a lot of properties will benefit from effectively what is economically termed a cost push effect. So if we go through some examples of what could benefit and what could actually get a negative impact from a cost push effect, if we looked at overpriced and misaligned brand new real estate, that is sold in the marketplace pre-construction. Ultimately, today, it could be way overpriced compared to what people are currently paying for an equivalent modern property in the same neighborhood. So you could have a negative cost push effect on buying the wrong new supply. Equally, if you can find fairly priced new supply of real estate, basically pre-construction, you can benefit from the cost push effect because effectively you are paying a less expensive rate for the same thing. And when the adjustment occurs of prices moving up, you'll be the beneficiary of the fact other people have paid more. So in other words, you may make more whilst the overpriced person makes less. And of course, I think a beneficiary of the cost push effect would be already modern, newly renovated properties or modern established properties. They will absolutely get the benefit because the new property obviously comes with new technology, new build quality, new standards, quite often is just better, like anything that's new. So you've got to have a correlation to the variation or the benchmark of the cost push. So unrenovated properties that you can renovate and still feasibly do it without exploding on costs would also gain from effectively a cost push effect. So overpriced new properties, not going to gain. Fairly priced new properties will gain. Newly renovated properties will gain. Modern established properties will gain. Unrenovated but feasible properties will gain. And of course, unrenovated and now economically not feasible properties will actually really, really struggle in the next cost push. And the reason being is those properties may effectively need so much money spent on them to renovate that the maths just doesn't work. It becomes an overcapitalized renovation, an overpriced piece of real estate. And of course, that's the model, right? It's how do you ride the cost push? And so if we were to look at, for example, the apartment market at the moment to keep pace with construction costs, the disparity at the moment is 28%. It makes existing stock of apartments an attractive market for actually investors, particularly because we're in a very tight vacancy rate. So if you can buy current supply of modern apartments that don't need the whole complex renovated, or it's not economically obsolete, or it's not dysfunctional or lost functional functionality, you could effectively ride the cost push. Now, again, like if you look at the cost of certain construction, it is much higher than the inflation rate. And so even though we talk about inflation dropping to 4%, certain construction things are way above 4%. And so the Australian economy is basically glued to population and construction. And in the middle of that is our property investors who can benefit from this. So there's certain economic research done by the ABS, REI, CBRE, which kind of concludes that effectively the cost push of, for example, apartments may meet each other, i.e. the future supply of real estate will drag values up, and it will kind of intersect again where things sort of work in effectively 2027. So for the next 3 years, if you are a cost push investor, you could effectively make the money because certain new supply is going to drag up. Now you'll ask, well, who buys this new supply of real estate, which is seemingly much more expensive than the existing supply chain of real estate? Well, the short answer to that is everybody. Everybody gets out there and buys it. People pay for this stuff. They like the project. They like the property. There's a lot of cash out there. There's a lot of downsizers, trigger happy people who don't need a loan. There's all sorts of people in the marketplace clamoring for the right look and feel in new construction. And so we've got this bleak outlook when it comes to supply. I mean, Sydney, for example, needs 33,000 apartments per annum and will deliver between now and 2028, 14,000. Melbourne needs 10,000 per annum. Melbourne needs 38,000 per annum and will deliver 10,000 per annum. So again, when you look at the actual dialogue of what that looks like for property investors as well, the stock levels are very, very low, very low. Like below $750,000, if you look at apartment construction, there's only 11% of stock. So remember, we are low approvals, low completions, 12-year low, and now the lowest basically mathematics of stock going to the least expensive quartile. So the flight, if you like, is to the affordable real estate because there is not a lot of it going around. And for property investors, they tend to shop in that, what I would determine as the affordable range, below $750,000 in general. And so product being produced at that end of the marketplace is ridiculously low. So take Melbourne, it's got over 5 million people, gets around 100,000 population growth per annum. The demand for apartments is 38,000 apartments per annum. The supply of apartments is 10,000 apartments per annum. The supply of $750,000 or below apartments per annum for the next 4 years will be 1,100 apartments. Let's say there's 100 apartments in each building. That's 11 buildings that are really affordable to buy. From those 11 buildings, usually it's around 1 in 10 would make a good investment. So you're talking effectively per annum, maybe 100 apartments or one apartment complex being created that would be a wise investment from new product coming through the system. And again, that product may not have the cost push problem, making it feasible as the better investment. And so you can see effectively out of those 11 buildings I just described, you know, 1 out of 10 is usually the batting average of what makes a good property tick, then you 9 out of 10, 9 out of 11, 10 out of 11 of those apartment complexes are going to be much more expensive. And you'll get this drag up effect. It'll drag the market with it, albeit it will come down a bit because it's overpriced, but the underpriced real estate will come up and it will meet in the middle. In other words, I can give you an example. A product in a certain suburb, I won't name it, but I know it very, very well. One bedroom today, a gun one bedroom, you know, city views, all that kind of stuff, $500,000. The next version in the same master plan, same product, same developer, same builder, same architect, same thing is now being sold for $800,000. $800,000. And so obviously you want to buy the put your foot on the $500,000 one, not the $800,000 one. So what happens to the $800,000? Well, it goes to settlement and it's worth 700 or $650. What happens to the $500,000 one? Well, it benefits from this new sales data, and instead of being worth 500, it's worth 600,000. So this is the process of what is a cost push. It has been happening forever in Australian real estate. It is just really only a talking point, effectively, is that, you know, for a lot of people, they look at Australian real estate as very expensive, but effectively, it will become even more expensive. And really, between now and 2028, there will be a cost push. And of course, this benefits certain product types because, for example, townhomes are a lot less to build and typically can be in similar efficient urban areas as apartments. So you can build a townhome for 30, 40% less than an apartment and obviously still get a very similar low maintenance urban lifestyle. And so by way of example, you know, you could look at 100 square meters of townhome and that might cost $700,000, which is $10,000 a meter, but an apartment might be $15,000 a meter. So the equivalent 100 square meters of apartment is 1.5 million, effectively double the price. So definitely without question, there is money to be made off the cost push without question. And so exciting times ahead. It takes a little bit of skill to understand what real estate will benefit from the cost push, probably words of warning, overpriced new, and effectively properties which are past their use-by date because they effectively need a massive, massive capital injection. Probably the biggest mistake of most property investors is they don't, when they buy older properties, they don't factor in capital costs, capital improvement costs. And again, like in some respects, the worst thing you can do is buy a time bomb now, which just effectively can never be improved because the cost is prohibitive to the investment. And so there's so many examples of that which have unfolded as well in recent times whereby people have bought a property, thought they could improve the look and feel, appeal, through a form of renovation, gone to their design team, architect, interior designer, builders, and just like fallen off their perch because they're like, you're kidding me. I factored in $100,000 and now you've sent me something for $500,000. Like I'm now sitting on a renovator's problem, not a renovator's delight. So just be very wary when it comes to what's going to benefit from the cost push. New real estate, which is fairly priced, and there's a lot of reason why new real estate can be fairly priced. The land can be have been held for a very long time, which brings the price down. You can have builder-developer, which brings the price down. You can have certain types of master plans, which have yield efficiency, which brings the price down. You can have really real estate, which is just by virtue of the development gain, just well-priced. But you can have a lot of overpriced brand new real estate as well. And again, it just takes a little bit of know-how to understand that. Equally with capital costs on secondhand real estate, you know, you need to factor that in. So what is good? Fairly well new real estate, fairly priced. Modern real estate, renovated real estate, it's all going to benefit from the cost push. Obviously, to benefit from a new supply chain coming in, you've got to have something comparable to the new supply chain. So exciting times ahead. That is for sure for the marketplace. But again, things could get more expensive, and they probably will. You will see rates have to drop to allow demand to buy the supply, to shore up the supply. Because when you've got such low approvals, it really will lead to higher prices. Effectively, we can see that already over the horizon. At some point, according to economists, in 2028, the problem will solve itself. But by then, prices may have gone up a fair bit, according to that data I've got. You know, 28%, the secondhand market comes up about 24% to meet it. So the fairly priced new, the newly renovated, the modern, the established that works, that's going to come up. It's going to come up to meet the apex of new pricing. Now, I'll give you a final example. You know, I own a property. I paid $10,000 a meter for the property. It's effectively 100 square meters of the property, give or take a few meters. Actually got a little bit more, but I'll just say 100 square meters. It's nice, easy maths. It's $1 million, right? $1 million at $10,000 a meter. The same product today, and it is selling, and there are plenty of buyers for it. It's a good-looking piece of real estate. Inspired architecture is selling at $16,000 a meter, just around the corner up the street. So there's a cost push on my real estate of effectively a 60% rise in delivery. And so I own the $1 million real estate. Someone else is paying $1.6 million for the same equivalent real estate. Mine is modern, new. Theirs is into the new supply chain. So they will settle in 2 years' time at 1.6. I'm modern, new. I'm only 2.5 years old. My $1 million property is going to get a cost push uplift from that $1.6 million property. That will probably value in it, you know, 1.5 or something like that. So you can see that both sides, it's like a scale. Both sides will buffer. The overpriced will come down, the underpriced will go up. So that's the cost push effect, and I'm excited by that. So I hope you are too. All right, folks, that's it for me today. I'm a little short and sharp. Usually I drag on for a good hour or so, but not today. It's time I left. All right, thanks for your earballs. Talk soon. Thanks for tuning in to The Urban Property Investor. To never miss an episode, make sure you subscribe to the podcast on your favorite app or on YouTube. And I would love it if you could give the show a rating and share it with your friends and family. In between episodes, you can always keep in touch with me by connecting on social media over Facebook, Instagram, or LinkedIn. Until we meet again on the next episode of The Urban Property Investor, take care and bye for now.